The number one Christmas ad this year came from a Philippine telecom commercial. And in the commercial, there's a man who rescues a stray dog, cares for the dog, and then finds the family for the dog, and now he's suddenly sad for Christmas. And then the family invites him over, and he's around their table, and not only does he kind of have the dog back in his life, but he even has a family in his life. And the final line, the only words they really say in the movie are this: from unexpected friendships to lasting relationships. Church, they stole our line. That's what we're in the business about, taking unexpected friendships and turning them into everlasting relationships. That's what we're in the business to do. And the Christmas gospel is the best example of that. What could be more unexpected than Mary's womb carrying the child of God? The early church was obsessed with the pregnant belly of Mary. They put it in art all over their churches. This pregnant belly, many times you didn't even see the Christ child in there. They would just have a pear in her pregnant belly or an almond in her pregnant belly, symbolizing that the seed was there and the seed of God was going to grow. But you see this kind of picture all the time, and there's Jesus blessing the world in vitro as he's growing into a little baby. Her title, going back to the third century, especially in Syria, and some of you might know that our Arabic pastor, Pastor Abjar, is from Syria. Well, in those churches, the name that they gave Mary often was Theotokos, which means the bearer of God, the one who holds God. And they would compare her womb to Noah's Ark. Just like the Ark saved Noah's family through the floodwaters, so Mary's belly in those waters would carry the child safely into this world. They compared her womb to Jacob's ladder, with angels ascending and descending. And they would say that Mary's womb is the closest that heaven and earth can come together, because the Christ child is now with us. When the archangel Gabriel says to her, "The power of the highest will overshadow you." The Greek word for overshadow is a word relating to dwelling or tabernacle. So it's like he's using that same word like when Moses was going through the desert and they would stop. He had to set up a tabernacle so that they could put the ark of the Lord in there so that the Lord would dwell with them. And now here the archangel is saying, Mary, your belly is the tabernacle. Your belly is the temple. It's the Holy of Holies. That's how much the Eastern Church thought of the Virgin Mary. This peasant girl bringing the unexpected and turning it into a lasting, everlasting relationship because of the birth of Christ into this world. What could be more unexpected than Mary's belly? Well, what about an angel coming and speaking to shepherds? This is great. It starts with one angel and he comes and he says, "Fear not." And then a whole chorus of angels comes in and announces this thing. It's like they can't hold it in anymore because God is here with us. Christ is here and we're busting at the seams to share him with the world. The glory goes to God, but the peace and the goodwill go to you. The glory always goes to God, but peace and goodwill are God's gift to us. And the angels want to make sure that we understand the point. And I think Christmas comes around once every year, maybe just to remind us that God isn't confusing at all. That God isn't confusing. No, God can be known. God can be real. And whenever we forget about it, God wants to remind us, I'm not into exteriors. I'm not intimidated by your sins or your mistakes. I'm here to forgive you and to love you. If I wasn't into you, why would I ever be born like that? In a manger, to this simple family. But I came here for you. And so you can say all you want about religion, but if you look at the manger and you look at those peasant parents, those shepherds, the straw for a pillow, if you just look at that spot where God chose to dwell, we should just ask this question: why would the creator of the universe do this? He did it for you. He did it because he loves you. Tell people, God has goodwill good news for you. Luke 2, verse 20, the shepherds returned and they were glorifying and they were praising God for everything that they had seen. What will you do when you return to your normal life? That's what Christmas begs of each of us. Will you return to it, glorifying and praising God and sharing that goodwill, that good news with others? Will you make sure that the unexpected can turn into everlasting relationships? Years ago, there was a very wealthy man who, with his devoted son, shared a passion for art collecting. Over time, they ended up traveling the world, picking up pieces that they would put in their estate. Monet, Van Gogh, Picasso, all the ones that we've heard of. They had amassed quite the collection, and the father was so proud because although this was his passion, he noticed that his son became great, not just at the art part of it, but even dealing in the business of art collection. And so this pride was swelling and swelling until one winter, they found out that their country was going to be entering World War I. And so his son was sent off to war. And just a few short weeks later, the elderly man got the telegram that no parent would ever want to get, missing in action. And from that point, for the next couple days, all he could think about was running through the scenarios of what had happened to his son. And then he heard finally that his son was killed trying to rescue another soldier and get him to a medic. But he was a hero. That did little to calm him down that Christmas season. He suddenly was lost without his son. The paintings that were all over their estate just reminded him more and more of what he had lost. He was already a widower. And then one day there was a knock at his door. He opened it up and it was a soldier. In fact, it was the soldier that his son had rescued. And he was carrying a big box. And he asked if he could come in and talk with him for a few minutes. And the father obliged. And as he started to open up the painting, he realized that the painting was a portrait of his son. And the soldier told him, yeah, this is a passion that we shared together. He told me stories about your collection, promising one day that I'd get to come and see it. And I'm a young artist and always wanted to do this. And this was a way for both of us to escape the troubles of war. And so I wanted to give you this gift. And the father was so touched, of course, brought to tears. And he promised him that he would put it above his mantle of his fireplace, which he did, which required him to take thousands of dollars of art and push it to the side, away from the centerpiece in his home. And although the father missed his son, he realized something, that he now had the prized work of art that he had always wanted, and he could sit in that chair and he could focus on it. And he began to hear more and more stories that there wasn't one soldier that his son saved, but over a dozen. And then suddenly that pride that his son was good at something in business and good with art and was following in his footsteps, that gave way to a better pride. A pride that his son had courage and had honor and was willing to give his life to others. When the father finally passed away, his will was read. And everybody wondered, since his son was gone, where would the art collection go? It had to go to auction. And the auctioneer, when he got up, he began with a painting, an opening bid for a painting, but everybody went silent. It was the picture of the son. And somebody kind of yelled from the back, we're not here for a picture of a son. We're here for the Picasso and the Monet and the Van Gogh. Let's get on with it. And the auctioneer said, no, his will was very explicit. This is the first one, and then we'll continue with the rest of the auction. So again, he held up the painting and asked if there would be a bid from the crowd. And a friend of the father stood up and said, I only have $10, but I would like that painting. I would give more if I could. And the auctioneer just looked around and went silent. And suddenly he said, okay, going once, going twice, sold, $10. Everybody started to cheer in the crowd. They couldn't wait to get on with the rest of the auction. And when they had finally calmed down a little bit, they weren't really cheering that somebody had won that painting. They were cheering because it was time to bid on the Picasso. And the auctioneer announced as they went quiet that the auction was over. At first, they were stunned. They were silent. And then somebody blurted out, "We didn't come here for the portrait of the old man's son. What about the other painting? There's millions of dollars of stuff up there." The auctioneer replied, "It's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the son gets it all." That's the Christmas gospel. When you receive the Son of God, when you receive the Son, you get it all. And sometimes we have a message out there in our culture, and it's been heard loud and clear this year, because I've seen it. I've seen it on signs. I've seen it on billboards. I've seen it in greeting cards. And our message has been heard loud and clear. Keep Christ in Christmas. Don't secularize our holiday. And I think that's an important message, but I'm far more worried about this, keeping Christ in Christians. Keeping Christ in Christians, because you and I are the heralds. You and I are the shepherds of today. You and I are the ones who have gone and we have seen and we have known the Lord. And then the question is, when we go back home, are we going to give glory to God and are we going to praise God where we are? I'm more worried about keeping Christ in Christians than Christ in Christmas. Like the shepherds, we take the Son and we share him with the world. It's not so much about secularizing our holiday, it's about us sacralizing the rest of our world. The world, and you see their ordinary water, and then you tell them that we can take this and we can take it with the word and we can wash you and we can wash you clean, but not just like a bath, we can wash you eternally clean. We call it baptism. Or we can get around a table, and with the Lord's blessing, we can do a whole lot more with bread and wine than people could ever possibly imagine. This is the table of the Lord, when we can sacralize it because of what God wants to do. Whoever takes the Son gets it all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you bring us good news of great joy, which should be for all people. We praise you for the birth of your Son, Jesus, for all that his life and death and resurrection mean for the world. Protect each of our families this Christmas and inspire faith and great joy in each of us. We pray this in the incarnational name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.